all good Monday afternoon. Welcome once again to the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. In the studio today, we have Art Jude, who has been here before. He was the author of The Foot Brothers, Their Life and Times. And we have a special guest with us from one of our other shows. That'd be Nate Redmond.
Howdy, howdy. Good to be here.
Gentlemen, good to have you both here today.
Good to be here.
Sounds like I'm losing my voice, so I might need you to take over at some point here. Art.
Yes, sir.
You've been the part of some real excitement down in Southern Ohio. And why don't you start telling us about the first of these, let's say, adventures?
Well, these are my big adventures, but they seem to be gotten out of hand here in the last couple of years. I noticed on television you got all kinds of aliens coming down here and the Mothman coming around here and Bigfoot running around. But what really happened? I got this brother. He's a highly intelligent human being, but man, he was just, he even embarrassed the rest of us when we would try to talk to him. I mean, he was really smart. But he, for some reason, believed in Bigfoot, and the rest of us just wanted to help him out. So we planned and planned and planned. That's one thing I'm good at, is planning, not to get caught, you know, so.
That's an important part of it.
Oh, yes. It's very important, because you never know, somebody might shoot you when you run around out there with a gorilla outfit on through the woods. So I planned on this for about 3 or 4 weeks there. It was right around the beginning of turkey season back about 10, 12 years ago. I went and rented me a big gorilla outfit, and my sister, Sharon, had a birthday party scheduled for one of the grandkids down there, right at the bottom of the hill where I was supposed to run around the top of, and we planned everything out and got it down to the exact time I was supposed to get up and get that gorilla outfit on and run across the top of the hill, and it worked out better than what I thought it would. Well, he seen us, and my sister got got film of it, and boy, was that funny. He really believed that he had seen a Bigfoot. He was, when we was all sitting around later that evening, he was wanting to call the newspapers and the National Guard and everybody come out there, see if they could hunt Bigfoot down that evening. Well, it was pretty good. Now, I'm telling you, I don't know if I'd have been tricked or not if I'd have seen it, you know, seen me run across the top of that hill with a Bigfoot costume on, but it worked out pretty good. And later on that next week, Reichert Ford was having a contest of home videos, so I sent a copy of the video that my sister made in to Reichert Ford, and they showed it on television. Yeah, it was a pretty interesting thing there for a while, but I never won anything off of it. So, that was a kind of let it die down there, because it hurt my brother once I told him that was me, and we showed him the photographs or the movie of me running across the hill and getting dressed in that gorilla outfit, because it was pretty hot. Even though it was the beginning of turkey season, it was pretty hot, and the weather's really got to me up there. When you're running with a big old gorilla outfit on, you'll get hotter than heck. So
what did you use for feet? Did you use something special to make those footprints?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm forgetting a lot about that stuff. So we'd went down early at the bottom of that hill on the back side of it, and I'd cut out a piece of plywood. I'd laid my hand out on a piece of plywood and marked around it, and then I cut that plywood out with a jigsaw, and we went down there earlier and beat it into the mud down along the creek and the road there. And good thing you could turn them over, you know. One foot, left foot would work for the right.
Oh, okay.
When I was beating on one of them, daggone thing broke right in two. So I took the other one and just flipped it over. I don't think anybody can tell you, unless you was with a microscope down there, you know, checking the actual dimensions of the toes out and everything. But it looked real enough. There's photographs of it in the book there, so. It passed muster, I suppose you could say that. And well, anyway, that was the Bigfoot, back in what years? 1988 when I did that.
Was it? Yeah.
Or something like that. And, well, it was just fun to do, except it kind of hurt my brother and made a rift in the family for a little while. But he got over it. He finally got over it. And everything's back to normal. Now, he's back to believing in Bigfoot, even. He really, really? Is. Which is, man, I think it's not right, him believing that way, but I guess that's his right, and that's, let him go with it. And so, but down there, there's, they call Bigfoot down there the grass man or something like that when they get on television and talking about Bigfoot and stuff like that. But according to the local stations, he's the grass man down there in Vinton County and Gallia County. So, well, anyway, let him be whoever he wants to be. Mail him some letters down there if you want. I don't know his post office box number, but that's where he is. And anyway, it's a lot of fun doing this kind of stuff.
Was Bigfoot before or after the alien incident?
He was before the alien incident.
Okay, okay.
And what really happened is I was working out in Newark with a factory out there, and, you know, I'd tell some people, not everybody, that I was Bigfoot, and I'd tell them that if they give me a rough time or a hard time or something, I'd say, Bigfoot's going to come and get you for that. And one day was out to the smoke booth. And one of the supervisors come out and started giving me grief about something. And I told him, Bigfoot's going to get him for that, get you for that. And my buddy Dick Hoy was the only one in that whole group of us out there at that smoke booth that believed anything that I was saying. And he wanted to know more after we all had to go back to work, see. And, you know, nobody else believed that I was Bigfoot. But Dick, and he come up wanting to know more about it, and that's when Dick and I got to talking, and I told him that I'd like to set off a spaceship, and we got together after that and started working on this spaceship deal, and it was kind of funny. You know, Dick was been at the factory a long time, and he was highly respected there, and I'd been there just a short time, and everybody thought it was kind of funny for him, a longtime employee, to be associating with a new guy, I guess. I don't know why they do that, but that's the way they are. And, well, anyway, over the course of a couple of months there, Dick and I planned this thing out. I was going to wanting to trick my sister Sharon, but Dick was wanting to trick his old lady, too, with a seeing a spaceship, because she believes in spaceship, and my sister Sharon believes in aliens too. So anyway, we had this big plan, and you get online and get a balloon up to the house. I got a big one. It's about 12 foot in diameter, and I got it there, and I put it out in the garage and filled it full of helium and painted it all up, and that's on the cover of the book there. And put some LED lights on it. Yeah, it was flashing all around it. I'm telling you, yeah, that's the spaceship right there. It is.
Here, I'll hold it up to the mic so people can see it.
Yeah, so they can see it out there. Yeah, it was real fun to make it. But what really happened is when I was making the first one, I didn't have a big balloon like that. I only had like a 5 foot one, and that just wasn't big enough for. To look like a spaceship, so I kept pouring the helium in it, and that thing blew up on me when I had my back turned to it. Oh, it scared the heck out of me. I thought I was going to get killed, but it just wasn't any worse than any other balloon blowing up. But my big one didn't blow up, and well, anyway, the lights on it was flashing, and I had a bunch of lights on the bottom of it, and I called that my light ray engine. Which is, you know, they say if you can travel the speed of light, you'd be okay. But it was kind of fun making it. And I had to go rent a U-Haul truck to put it in. So then we took it down to Seneca Lake, where Dick was having his party up there. And the thing was, I'd been down there several times and threw out some of these little Kroger balloons, you know, happy birthday balloons.
Oh, okay.
I just threw them out and see which way they went after I threw them out of the car. And they always drifted up the holler where they were having their clubhouse, and they were having a big party up there. Well, I took that my spaceship down there in that U-Haul truck and stopped there in the road, and my brother was back there in the back holding the thing so it wouldn't rub the sides too hard. And I told him to come on out of there with it, and he jumped out, and he got out there in the middle of the road and turned it loose. And where we turned it loose at, there was big pine trees on both sides of the road. And they, I guess the state or somebody, come in there later on and tore all them pine trees out of there, cut them down. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really cut them right down to the dirt, buddy. And I don't know if they did that because what I'm going to tell you here in a little bit, or if they, you know, just did it because the landowner was wanting the wood out of them. But that spaceship went straight up in the air and then drifted out over top of the lake. And while they was drifting out through there, I noticed there were some old fishermen. I guess they were old. I don't know. It was dark. They were fishermen down there on the lake, and they had a couple of lights going around. I didn't hear them or anything, but I'm sure they could have seen that spaceship drifting out over the lake where the lights are flashing on it and everything. So it kind of scared me because they was two highway, not highway patrol, but two county, I guess, county sheriffs or maybe game wardens come flying up the road right after we had taken off. They come flying up the road, but I found out later they were park rangers for that park down there. And I thought they were after us for sure, but they didn't catch us, so they didn't stop us, and I was glad to get the heck out of there. And going home, a highway patrol was flying by us too. You know, I was driving that old U-Haul truck, and I was really afraid that they were coming after us. But, you know, where that big old balloon went, I don't know. I kind of watched the weather for the next week or so. And I think that thing either went clear all over to Switzerland and or someplace over there, you yeah. know, because it would that was a big weather balloon, and it would go 40 or 60,000 feet in the air. Now, I do want to tell you that that's illegal. You shouldn't be doing that, but, you know, these people, I don't know, just go out there and try to catch you an alien or get you a spaceship, one or the other. But it is illegal to do that because they could, it could interfere with a aircraft flight.
Well, sure,
you know. So, or it could have turned around, and headed out up through Canada and ended up out in Montana someplace. Mm-hmm. There was a weather system going that way, and one turned around going the other way over towards England and Scotland and Switzerland and all them kind of places. So, but I don't know where it ended up. I did have a note on it. I'd give somebody a reward for turning it in.
I don't know if I'd want to put my name on it.
Well, I did. So, you know, it's like that old boy jumped out of that aircraft out there in Seattle. The guy that stole all that money for jumping out of the aircraft out there. Remember
yeah.
him?
Yeah.
D.B. Cooper, yeah. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you, but there's a number taped to it. If you find it, give me a call on it, and I'll give you a little reward for letting me know where it ended up. So I don't know really where it ended up at all. I would like to know, though.
But there was more that went on with the aliens. What about the alien woman? Tell us about her.
Oh, isn't she pretty?
Yeah, she's beautiful.
I know. That's what I'm talking about now. She don't complain too much either.
No, she doesn't. Does she still exist?
No. Okay. She took off too. You know, them aliens, they have they're a little bit flighty. You could say that.
Well, tell us about that alien woman and how she came about.
Geez, man, I can tell you what happened to her, but how she came about, I done forgot. But I went down to used to be a Trader Bud's downtown Columbus.
Uh-huh.
That sold those blow up women's what she was. And you can get one of them and paint her all up and that's what that alien woman is. And well, we, yeah, there she is. And she was filled full of helium too, and I took her out into the lake up there next to the bridge over Seneca, at the bottom of Seneca Lake there. And I had to sink her, and I threw out those cinder blocks. It took a lot to sink her, but I got her sunk and had a fishing line, the old rat trap. You ever seen a rat trap from Vietnam?
No.
Well, what they are, they used them to blow things up with in Vietnam. And, well, if you pull on the line or on the trigger, it will snap the line, whatever it's holding. So if you pull the head, the other end, or I believe it may have been Sharon out there with the police or somebody. When she came down there to check, me and Dick had went fishing, supposedly fishing the night before when I sunk her. And if you pull on that fishing pole that I had tied to the line, it would cut the line and she would jump up out of the air, out of the water. So it took her, once she came up out of the water, it took her a little while to dance around, get warm in the morning sun. But she finally took off, you know. And where she went, I don't know either, you know. Them aliens they're flighty, buddy. I'm telling you, you don't know where the hell they're at. So, oh, it's horrible to do people that way, but it's a lot of fun. It really is.
Well, tell us about the footprints they found from the aliens.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah, there's a lot more involved in that than what I'm remembering right now. Anyway, my buddy Dick, he infiltrated the old fisherman. And one day he overheard him, about a month or 2 months later, he overheard him talking. And they wouldn't tell anybody about what they were talking about. But he had picked up enough to know that they'd seen that the spaceship going out over top of the lake. Anyway, Dick went down there and made him some feet out of rebar. Yeah, he made some, and he started out in the lake and made them like they walked out of the lake up to this old big old beech tree that had the top of the tree burned out. So, you know, he had them walk coming up out of the lake. And these old men thought that they were coming to that old beech tree that had been burned out, and that the aliens were going to come back there someday. And, we messed around with that for a month or so, trying to get a little better understanding of that. But Dick finally went up and was having a meeting at one of their houses. And they were all getting ready to go to Florida, but they come to believe that them aliens were living under the water at the lake, and that they were having their little ones there someplace. And we come to realize that they thought they were having the eggs, hatching out in the egg, and I made them an egg, buddy. That's one of the smartest things I ever did in my life, making that. Show him a copy of that egg here.
Oh, the egg. And folks, this book is available, I believe, on Amazon.
Yes, sir.
And you can see these pictures yourself. But anyhow, on with the alien. I'm trying to find the picture here.
I'll keep going.
Yeah, here. Let's keep going. We don't want dead air here, so let's.
Yeah. I hope you folks are enjoying this again. I've forgotten a little bit about the stuff we did. That's been several years ago going on now. Anyway, that's the smartest thing I ever did in my life, is making that egg. It's you look at the inside of it, it looks just like an egg. It's all smooth and round and everything. And it's really, it was good for me. But Dick then took and planted that egg in the barn up there, right where people could find it. And somebody found it, and we don't know whatever happened to it. They come there in that big field right outside the barn and did a cross-check pattern in that field trying to see if there's anything else there. But we didn't put nothing else there, so I don't know where that egg is today. I like to have that back because that was pretty ingenious.
So you think that was an excellent idea, huh?
Oh, at top of the shelf there, my friend, top of the shelf.
Weren't there people that come in town because of the alien sightings?
Yeah, they was the people, I called them black and whites because they'd all wear dark suits and white shirts. And they all had these mobile homes, you know, and they pulled them right in the park there. And it turns out, I guess they were government people looking for, trying to determine if there was a hoax going on or what. But they were looking for extra, whatever you want to call them, extracurricular.
Extraterrestrial. ETs.
Yeah, they were looking for ETs. Yes. And anyway, later on, I got a part-time job down at the local bar, and a man and woman would show up there, you know, late on Sunday night. I really didn't do so good on that, but we kind of kidnapped them in a way, got them good and drunk, you know. And, they believed they were kidnapped, and... what are you going to do to somebody that think they were kidnapped, you know? I mean, I'm sure they had a hangover like you wouldn't believe, but they did all right. They were okay. And it was just a lot of fun to do this kind of stuff, you know. I wish more people could get a hold of the book and read it, because a lot of people, it needs to be told. It needs to be made into a movie, mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing, trying to promote it to everybody that I can. And, I don't know what else to say at this point.
Okay. There's one thing they have a big festival for that we haven't mentioned yet. We haven't talked about the Mothman.
Oh, the Mothman.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is interesting. I grew up down at Gallipolis, Ohio, right outside of Gallipolis. And this Mothman took place, a Mothman incident took place over in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And what happened there in 66 or 67, I believe, I came home from leave, and I went down to Pomeroy, Ohio, and I was run into a couple of buddies of mine sitting in a restaurant down there. And one of their buddies, his uncle, the tall fellow, and I can't remember his name, but the other guy that I knew fairly well was Lonnie Darst, and Lonnie told me they were going over to run people out of his uncle's or the big tall fellow's cornfield, because he was going driving back in the cornfield, what we used to do back in those days, and go over and run them out. So we all went and got in the old truck and went over there and parked way back there in the woods. And first we stopped by the grandma's house and got a sheet off the line, and went way back in the cornfield. So when them kids went back in there to park, the big tall fella put that sheet up over top of himself and climbed up on that car, started jumping up and down like a maniac. Well, it scared them, the kids inside that car. And there they jumped over the front seat, just seeing everything that girl could have. But anyway, they jumped over it and took off. And When they took off, he come rolling off the back end of that car, and his sheet got caught on the arrows that we used to put a coon tail or a squirrel's tail on your antennas back there.
Okay.
You know, we used to do that stupid stuff, and they must have caught that sheet, but the sheet went down the road with them, and they had to have thought something was after them, because I didn't see what they were seeing, but you could see the red lights or the tail lights shining back in that sheet when it's flapping in the wind. So, you know, they thought something with big red eyes was after them. I'm sure that's what it was. And, well, that's shortly after that, I went back to the base, and I didn't hear any more about that for years to come. And come home, got out of the military, everybody was talking about it down Point Pleasant, you know. And, geez, I said, that's got to be what happened. You know, it happened at the same time, same place and everything. And how they come up with something, you know, as a Mothman down there, I don't know. I can tell you for sure that that sheet laid there on the road in Point Pleasant, right north of the railroad tracks, for at least a week after we had done that. So, you know, I didn't plan on doing that, but that's the way it turned out. But that sheet laid on right at the railroad tracks. So maybe somebody will remember that. I don't know. I could never figure out what the, you know, just going by there, what sheet would that be out on the road like that? It looked like a pretty good sheet. I don't know. But it had to be that sheet that he took off his grandma's line and put over top of himself. And it just scared the heck out of them people. You know, it had to have.
So, excuse me, the Mothman's become quite a legend in that part of the state.
That's a big deal down there.
They even built a statue to him.
Oh, yeah, that's a statue there on the front of the book. Yeah.
Oh, it is on the front, too. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the Mothman there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a great big statue of him down there.
At Point Pleasant, is it?
Yes, sir. Yep. Yeah. I wish they could get out of that and not have it there, but, you know.
Well, it's probably bringing some money and people into
it gets the economy rolling down there. That's for sure.
Yeah. So that's a good thing. So going back to the aliens, what's this about you coming up with some kind of a transmitting device that the aliens supposedly used?
Yeah. Well, that's amazing, the stuff I've forgotten about.
That's what I'm here for.
Oh, okay, good. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Nate's here to listen to us all. The transmitters... What actually happened there, I had one of them on me, and it's powered by the battery in your car. And I was up at Salt Fork, and Dick was down at Seneca Lake. But these transmitters I made is the way the aliens would communicate between yourself. And what I built was just two transmitters, and they just transmit garbage. They don't really transmit anything. But I built a wheel that goes to the ASCII code. That's a computer code, basically, that all computer runs on. And this wheel, you can take and turn it. And it has notches in it. And I'm sure them notches, there you go, I'm sure that those notches in it,
yes, indeed.
You know, if they match each other, you can pick something up and you think it's saying something, right? And some of them do, like two or three of the notches represent, I think, a Y and another one a K. But that, it really don't. It's just the way the notches worked out, and the wheels are identical. So when one says a K, you know, you don't know where the other one is, but the other wheel on the other transmitter, but it goes out through the air, you know. So Dick was down at Seneca Lake, like we were talking to each other, and we had our watches set at the time. So I would turn mine, and he would turn his at certain times. And you would, if somebody could pick that up, and I'm sure they did, I didn't know this at the time, but there's a place out in Colorado that picks up all radio transmissions that put out on the earth. So I'm sure somebody out there picked these two signals up. And sometime probably got them still recorded, but they're really not saying anything, or just a radio signal. But when you turn that wheel, if you really want to complicate it, you can make it think it's saying something, but it really not saying anything. So, it was funny. It was fun doing that kind of stuff. That when we did that on that transmitter, that was one of the nights we almost got caught, you know. People were out there looking. I don't know if they actually picked that signal up, but we did everything we could do to not get caught, you know. You know, sneaking around like two dogs in the night.
It's been a while since I've read the book, but I seem to remember some incident that happened in Grandpa's pig pen.
Oh, we don't want to go over that now.
Oh, why not?
Well, all right. Well, I was hoping you wouldn't go on that, go there. But
we're going to go hog wild on this
Oh,
one.
We are? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, me and Dick didn't see eye to eye one night. He had went through a briar patch when we was going over to do some investigating, I guess, and I dug up a grave, and I had my little recorder with me, thinking that he was going to, you know, not see it. And then when I was going through the briar patch, I must have cut a hole in my new car hearts. And anyway, I had, when you could reach down into the grave and get a bone out of there, we was going to put bones out for to let them think they're having, these aliens are having a picnic with human beings, you know, instead of a hot dog. Well, anyway, that recorder fell out of my pocket. And it had on there, it says, "What are you doing? Get out of my grave." Dick's a little bit leery about this kind of stuff anyway, you know. And he's kind of afraid digging a grave up. I'm not, but he is. Anyway, we got back to our headquarters where we'd operate out of. And We got in a heck of a fight inside there, because that scared him, so he took off and ran through the briar patch up around the graveyard. Have you ever been over to that Salt Fork down where this happens, down at the sewer plant? They got an old graveyard down there, and that grave was made 1888, so I didn't figure that old boy would care.
Probably not.
No, I don't think he would. Anyway, there's bar patches and old barbed wire fences around it, you know. Well, Dick got all cut up. He looked like a pound of hamburger after he went through them wires. You know, I'm sure everybody knows what that feels like. Anyway, that recorder fell out of my pocket, and he realized what was going on then, and he took a 2x4 and knocked me through a damn hole through the wall of that old barn, and I landed out in the pig pen.
Oh, my.
You know, it was one of them barns that hung over, you know, all the way around the edges, and the pigs were down on the ground. And boy, that old boar in there, he didn't like me being in his pig pen. He thought he was the head man of that pig pen, so he got a hold of me. I thought he was going to kill me. Until I hollered for Dick, Dick come out with a 2x4 and hit that old pig right in the rear end, where it got his attention and got him off of me. So. From then on, Dick and I didn't fight anymore. I made a deal with him.
He got you good, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Anyway, we had a heck of a time doing all this stuff. I mean, it was funny. Gosh almighty, was that funny. I wish other people could have... that's why I want to get a movie made of this thing, so other people can understand that, you know, there's no aliens out there. There's no Bigfoot out there. There ain't no Mothman out there. They're seeing something in it. Excuse me. Man, I don't know why I'm so dry this evening. But people need to see this thing. Or I know the book's on Amazon, but they shouldn't have to pay for a book. They can go see a movie and enjoy themselves.
I think it'd be a really entertaining movie.
I think it would, too. That's what I'm trying to do, is get the get somebody that would like to make a movie of this interested in it. That's what I'm hoping for.
And you've told me you've talked to different folks about having you on the air to talk about this, and they've turned you down, which I found it's very fascinating. I can't understand somebody.
I took that book over to NPR, and that girl over there told me that they didn't they didn't do books like this. They didn't talk about books like this on the air. They talk about every other kind of book, but that's what she told me anyway.
Yeah, that's sad.
So I know it is.
It's good old fashioned. Good old-fashioned fun.
Fun, yeah.
The fun that got a lot of attention in some cases, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure I didn't tell everything we did in the book. I need to reread it.
Well, we need to leave some of it for people to whet their curiosity so they'll want to buy one. Now, it is available on Amazon.
Yes, sir, yeah.
And do you know about what it runs with?
It's pretty expensive for a little paperback book. It's like $25 for it, or $22.
But it's money well spent. The name of the book, folks, if you do go to Amazon looking, it is The Foot Brothers, Their Life and Times. It's based on a true story, and it is written with art. It says Arthur Jude and Dick Hoy.
Yeah.
Last time Dick was here with us, but he wasn't able to make it today. So you might want to check that out. I tell you, when I started reading it, I couldn't put it down. I had to read all the way through that book. And it's not a real thick book. It's not hard, and it's got big words and lots of pictures. So
well, that's what I wanted.
It shouldn't be hard to read a book like that. Now, Nate, let's talk to you a little bit. What's your thoughts on aliens?
Well, you know what? Growing up, I'd listen to overnight talk radio, and there was a fellow by the name of Art Bell. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's passed on now, but he was on there, and he would talk about aliens and that. And, of course, I never really saw anything myself, but I used to go and take my portable radio out to our trampoline in the backyard. This is when I was a kid, and turn that up. Look at the stars and just imagine what could be out there, you know. And a few times you look up at the stars and you see something weird kind of happen, you know. Mm-hmm. And it kind of gets your curiosity going a little bit, what might be out there, you know. But it's definitely something fun to think about. And I used to have a big blow-up, I think it was 6-foot-tall blow-up alien. I used to keep in my bedroom for just as my company, you know. But, aliens are they're a fun topic of discussion for sure.
Well, let's set up a hypothetical situation here. Let's say that you're driving along in your car, one of these spaceships lands in front of you. It doesn't look like the one here on the book, I'm sure, but anyhow, it lands in front of you, and these little guys come out, or women, whatever, and come up to your car. I'm sure they're not going to say trick or treat, but whatever they say, what are you going to do? How are you going to react?
You know what? I think I'd at least roll the window down and say hello, at least.
Okay. Hopefully they have their universal translators. And I, you know what? Speaking of aliens... I could almost not tell this. It's so funny. There were these two aliens that come down and land next to a pop machine, and they get out and go over to the pop machine with their little laser gun. They say, "Take me to your 2-liter."
Oh, goodness. I think he's right. He just told me.
I've been waiting for years to tell that on the air. You know what? I thought that joke up myself, and I haven't heard anybody else repeat it. I don't know why, but they haven't.
That is copyrighted to the Mike Wilson Show.
There you go.
Mike Wilson,
Bigfoot. What do you think on that, Nate? Do you think that there's any chance of there being a Bigfoot, a Sasquatch out there?
Well, you know, you would think...
I've seen your feet, but I don't think you qualify.
No, I'm only about a size 10.
Okay.
You know, you would think... stopping to think about it, if he's real or not, if a Bigfoot really existed, you know, all you see is these really grainy pictures,
right,
you know.
Right. And one of them might be art. You never know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that is exactly. Me on the front of the book there, that Bigfoot costume.
But with all the technology we have and just having a cell phone with a really good camera, mm-hmm. You'd think if one really existed, we'd get a little better photo, you know?
Do you Do you suppose Bigfoot's taking pictures of us and going back and saying, they do exist?
They do exist. That's right.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something now?
Well, Art, we got about 3 minutes. This is, I just have so much fun talking to you, or not talking, but listening. And again, the Foot Brothers, Their Life and Times by Art Jude and Dick Hoy is available on Amazon. So check that out. It is a paperback book. Like I said, it's not real thick. Lots of pictures. Very good book. The Mothman thing. Yeah. I understand you've talked to the mayor of that town and tried to convince
him.
Right.
I called down there back when they was having one of these, not a reunion, but a get-together for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And the they have Mothman Days is what
right.
it is. And I tried to talk to them about, you know, tell them what really happened there about me and my buddies going out there and jumping on top of that car and scaring those kids.
Right.
And he didn't want to hear nothing about that. You know, that makes a big income, the taxes and everything else, people staying in hotel rooms, coming in there from out of state to see this big exhibit, big statue that they have. And it's a big time for that town down there. It puts them on the map, and they don't want nothing to destroy that. They
right.
want to be there, you know. They want him. That just, I don't know. I don't understand it myself. So it's kind of funny, but the Bigfoot's been up around Mansfield up in there and all in through there. There hasn't been a whole lot down in southern Ohio or West Virginia. But you see these shows on TV now, and they look like my cousins and uncles out there looking for Bigfoot at night. Have mm-hmm. you seen those shows?
Yeah, I've seen those. You know, I enjoy them. They're fun to watch.
Yeah, but boy, I'm telling you, some of them guys, I just don't believe them, you know. They're doing that stuff.
Okay, well, Art, it's been good having you with us. And Nate, thanks for setting in today.
My pleasure.
And you've been listening to The Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. Tune in again next Monday afternoon at 5:15, and be sure you're listening Wednesday afternoon at 5:15, 4:15.
4:15, yes.
To the Nate Redmond Show.
Well, thank you very much for having us on again. I appreciate it.
Yes, it was a fun show.